The first chapter of the book of Genesis and the first chapter of the book of John both begin with three words that nobody can understand.
That's right.
In the beginning.
Amen.
Anybody understand in the beginning?
No, sir.
What was it to begin the beginning? And for something to begin the beginning wasn't the beginning. And we think we can understand and comprehend and handle the Word of God. What great mysteries it is in just three words. We'll be reading from the first chapter of John. First nine verses. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if the Word already was in the beginning, it wasn't the beginning. It has to be the beginning of our writing, but that's not the beginning. But in the beginning, the Word didn't begin the beginning, but it already was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Lord Jesus is said to be at the same time the Word, the life, the light, the way, the truth, the door, the resurrection, the first and the last, and many other realities of His infinite being. John now sets Him before us particularly as the light. That is our topic for this evening. Light. It is not our purpose to explore the scientific explanation of light. What is light? Is it waves? Is it particles? Is it energy? When I was a little boy, we used to try to blow out the lamp and get in the bed before the night, before it got dark. Never made it. The spiritual significance of this creation of God. It's not our purpose to explore the scientific explanation, but the spiritual significance of the light. It was spoken into existence by His Word and continues to be inseparable from the Word. That is, the light and the Word are inseparable. So we're going to explore the spiritual significance of light. Word is that which expresses understanding terms, that which may be known. Light, on the other hand, is that which uncovers and lays open the objects of knowledge and understanding. Life is that quality of being endowed by the Creator with inherent power to breathe, to take in nourishment, to grow and reproduce. Light not only contains energy for food, for growth and reproduction, for inanimate creatures, but enables men to see and to understand, to guide and order their actions, to avoid pitfalls and dangers, and to make informed decisions and enable them to be orderly, and to enable them to be orderly, fruitful, and constructive. We're told that light is inherent in the life which is in Jesus Christ, the Word. Whoever has Christ is alive and not only has the Word, but also has light on that Word. Christ is the light of the world, and by that light, the way. He is both He who shows us the way, and the way Himself. No words in human language more vividly and consistently contrast good and evil, understanding and ignorance, than the figures of light and darkness. These words are employed hundreds of times in the Holy Scriptures, and we use them in our colloquialisms and illustrations continuously. Here are some examples. Understanding. Can you shed some light on this problem I have? Why was I kept in the dark about these matters? Don't you see what I'm telling you? How can you see what you're saying? What is he saying when he see? I mean, do you understand? But it has that connotation of light. Oh, now I see. Well, I mean, were you blind? No, I understand. So you see, you see. The devil is the prince of the power of darkness. Christ's birth was heralded by a bright star. Incidentally, that wasn't an eastern star. They saw the star in the east, so it was a western star. Excuse me now, if you belong to the eastern star, you belong to the organization. I belong to the western star organization. Lost people are said to be in darkness. Christians are said to be now light. Jesus says, ye are the light. You're the light of the world. A long evil trial is said to be soon over when there's light is seen at the end of the tunnel. Light can be best appreciated by its contrast with darkness. This is vividly treated in Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning for the first day. Like the consistent parallels of details in this record of creation or restoration with fixed principles of redemption cannot be ignored. Salvation from sin and death by our Lord Jesus Christ is vividly illustrated in the opening words of these scriptures of the Word of God. Without the Word of God, all is darkness, disorder, and chaos. Jesus tells us that his words are spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Until he speaks, there's no life and no light. All is darkness and disorder. The Spirit of the living God is ever hovering over a world, a soul, or a soul that is in darkness. Paul tells us that he is not far from any of us, that Christ isn't, God isn't, and that the word of faith and salvation is in our mouths. Romans 10 and 8. Nothing lived, nothing is seen, nothing is known. Darkness covers and hides everything until God speaks. The word of God instantly creates light and darkness disappears. It cannot survive in the light. On the other hand, darkness reigns everywhere God's word is not spoken and known. No matter how many artificial lights or the wisdom of men you might put forth, you've got nothing but sophisticated darkness until God speaks God's word. God's word alone can give light and banish ignorance and evil. Education, so-called, that rules out God's word is merely sophisticated ignorance. Darkness. Churches, religion without the word are religious darkness. God pronounces the light to be good, and he does as he does everything he makes. But he never says darkness is good. It's the devil who says that. He immediately divides the light from the darkness in the creation. In regeneration, God wakens a lost sin, lost soul, out of his night of darkness and death, and translates him into the kingdom of his dear Son, the life and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls him out. He separates and sanctifies him into himself. And God is ever continuously dividing and separating the light from the darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. The order of light and darkness in the 24-hour day is made to be a true figure of evangelical conversion. We are accustomed to beginning our day in the morning when the sun rises. But God's order, the 24-hour period, begins with the night and moves forward to the day. And we're looking forward to the day. The sinner has to look forward to the time and the day when the day star arises in his heart. And that's the beginning of his life. The beginning of light. That's the order of all human life. It begins in the darkness and sin and ruins. And lies there until God's word intervenes. 1 Corinthians 15, 46. Howbeit, that which is not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. First Adam, then Christ. First the earthy, then the spiritual. First that of the earth, and then from heaven, and the heavenly. Every soul is born in darkness, and gropes for the light, until the day star of Jesus Christ comes to him. And his soul is then filled with light. Our common refrain in the song, You were once darkness, but now you are light. Genesis 1, 14 through 18 also prefigures the realities of the sun, moon, and stars. Perhaps it would be good if we turn back and read that. Genesis 1, 14. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. The greater light of verse 16 can represent other than the Lord Jesus Christ, as also testifies many other scriptures. Malachi 4. Malachi 4 and 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, and they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your heart. The sun is a wonderfully consistent figure of Christ in many ways. Christ is the light of the world. He rules the day. He is the King of light, the Lord of all who live and walk in light. Satan, in contrast, is the prince of darkness, of all evil, wickedness, and lies in error, darkness, and delusion. All power is given to Christ in heaven and earth. The earth's sole source of all energy is the sun. Everything you eat, everything that you wear, every ounce of energy you have, all comes from the sun. We have one source of energy for everything that lives and sustains, and that's the sun. Is that the S-U-N or the S-O-N? Yeah. The solar energy fuels everything. Muscle power comes from living creatures who eat food which has been nourished by gathering the sun rays and converting them to energy and fiber by photosynthesis. Fossil fuels, coal, oil, gas, come from ancient plants and animals that lived from food grown by energy from the sun. Hydroelectric plants generate power from falling water that is evaporated from the ocean, carried to the mountains by the sun. The lesser light, the moon, figures the church. It has no life within itself. It can only reflect and focus the light that comes from the sun. Is that the S-O-N or the S-U-N? Yeah. The S-U-N is the S-O-N. As long as Jesus was on earth, he was the light of the world. In his departure, he left the church as the light of the world. Dim as it is the only physically visible light in his absence. Such light as the church has, like the moon, is derived from the sun. Is that the S-O-N or the S-U-N? Yeah. The moon waxes and wanes. So does the church. The cause of its dimmer light and its partial phases is caused by the earth, the world, coming between it and the sun, which is Christ. That's the reason you have the different places. That moon, when she gets nearly covered up, that shadow over the moon is us. We is the ones who's doing that. We're blotting out the sun. The stars speak of Christ's special messengers who have an energy within themselves. They're not reflecting anything. They are infused with that fire themselves, which make them good representatives of Christian believers, soul winners, preachers of the gospel. They've got the fire of the Lord Jesus Christ, the star, the light in them, their bones and bosoms. They're bright and intense and are powerful indicators of God's providence and purpose. Revelation 1, 16 through 20. We'll begin here with verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass as they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the 7 golden candlesticks, the 7 stars, and the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks thou saw are the 7 churches. These, Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 13, 9 through 10, speaks of God's judgment when his star shall be taken from the earth and darkness shall envelop it. All of these lights, Christ, the church, the individual special Christian messengers, have a special common purpose: to divide the day from the night and to make distinction between darkness and light, good and evil, life and death, truth and lies, reality and delusion, and to give light upon the earth and in form of times and seasons. These are God's word to his creation. How dark then shall the earth become when the moon is turned into blood and the stars disappear from the heavens? Aye. The utter incompatibility of darkness and light. John 1 and 5. We've already read that. What does this verse mean? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him not anything made that not made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What does this mean? That darkness is unable to resist the light, that darkness cannot lay hold on light, that darkness cannot understand light. All of these in some measure. The context, however, tells us the precise meaning of what is said in verses 10 and 13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Jesus Christ, the light, came in the world, and the world did not receive him or recognize him, and yet does not recognize him. It cannot receive him, for it lies in total darkness. He came particularly to his own, God's chosen people, the Jews. Jesus told a Gentile woman that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but his own did not receive him any more than the world. Yet in spite of universal rejection by a world covered in darkness, people are receiving Christ the light. How can this be? They are people who have been born again.
Amen.
You don't do things to get born again. You don't believe on him to get born again. You believe on him because you have been born again.
Amen.
This second birth is something other than the natural bloodline. That bloodline is sold into darkness by Adam's sin, which is not of blood. It is not by self-will. Efforts of carnal soul winners who are determined to get somebody saved, nor is it by the sinner's own free will. His will is not free. Again, his will has been sold into sin by unbelief and the fall in the race of Adam. He will freely choose nothing but sin.
Amen.
These have been born of God. They are spiritually regenerated by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit and the light that is Christ. The day star has risen in their hearts. They live, they hear, they see, they understand. Paul related his conversion. It was a classic illustration of regeneration and conversion in the Acts chapter 26, one of the most profound passages in the Bible. Acts 26, verse 9. Here's Saul speaking. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Notice the eyes. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and in many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them, and I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. Whereupon, as I went down to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw the way, a light from heaven, Amen. Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Jesus? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have prepared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things of which I will appear unto you. The arrogance of the self-centered eye in darkness, Saul's part. While occupied in the darkness of his own free will, he sees a light from heaven, brighter than a noonday sun, and he falls to the earth and hears the word. Self-will capitulates. This arrogant self-will sinner cries, Lord, what will you have to do? His agenda evaporates. Christ is enthroned. His work, his life now is to turn men from darkness. So what do we have all of this to say to us? If you're not yet God's child, you're yet in darkness and in sin, living your own life your own way, doing according to your own thinking, going about to accomplish your own goals. You're an enemy of God and a child of the devil and bound for hell. If you're God's child, yet messing around with the world, with those who walk in darkness, chasing after the trinkets and baubles of this world with them, you now belong to Christ. Your element is not of this world, but of heaven. And your people are the people of light, not darkness. Identify with them, and Christ will give you light. Father in heaven, we could never in 1,000 eternities praise you, wonder in awe that you should choose such wretches as we are, this little band of people that meet here at this place, particularly selected out by you, by your own sovereign free will and grace, to be lights in this darkness of this world. We pray, O God, that our light would shine ever brighter and more glorious unto your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.